Daniel chapters 7, verses 9 to 14. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, the hair of his head was white as wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were open. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts have been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Coming with the clouds of heaven, he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Mark chapters 8, verses 31 to 37. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then he called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them, and when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels.
Jesse, thank you for reading that so clearly for us. And we're going to pray together as we turn to God's word. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you above all for Jesus, to which every part of the scriptures, to whom every part of the scriptures bears witness. And Lord, as we sit at the feet of Jesus and hear him say these challenging words to us today, we pray that we would hear his voice of loving care, the good shepherd who cares for us and gave his life for us, that we might listen, trust, and obey everything that he says today. And we ask it for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. Right, let me turn this one off. I'm going to give up on that as an idea and go back to plan A. There we go. So we are working our way through Mark's Gospel. So if you're here for the first time, this is where we've got to, this journey of Jesus through Mark's Gospel. And today, today we're thinking about being at a crossroads. And have you guys ever experienced being at a crossroads before? Think of you guys up on the balcony. At some point, you are going to have to choose what you do for GCSEs. Do you guys remember that? Oh, it was just wonderful. No more French. But it's a crossroads, because if I choose not to do French, then I'm going to be scuppered for every holiday I go to in France from now on. So it's a crossroads. Which way am I going to go? Or as you go on, you've got to choose your A-levels, even more subjects that you get to drop. Alleluia. Or which university do I go to? And as life goes on, the crossroads multiply, don't they? So am I going to get married? If so, who am I going to get married to? Where am I going to live? What about this job or that job? And one job takes you in one direction and one job takes you in a totally different kind of direction. And you feel sometimes in life that there you are at a crossroads. And life will continue to bring us to various crossroads, I'm sure, as we go on. Now, today, Jesus spells out for us the most significant crossroads that we will ever stand at. It's actually a crossroads that will make a difference, the ultimate difference, not just for this life, but for eternity. Just imagine that. I mean, French or no French is one thing, but life and eternity, that's quite another thing. That's the crossroads that Jesus lays before us in the word today. And it is a crossroads that Jesus himself has stood at. Just look at the verses that we looked at last time. Verse 31, he begins to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But then Jesus turned and looked at his disciples. He rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Can you see? It is literally a crossroad that lies ahead of Jesus. But his cross, do you see the crossroads that he's at? Okay, over here is the way of the cross. That's the way he knows his father has told him he must go. But Peter, do you see, he tries to persuade him to go a different way. Let's call it the way of the world. So which is it going to be, Jesus? The way of the cross or the way of the world? And you can tell that it's a very serious crossroads for Jesus because of what he says to Peter. "Get behind me, Satan." It's the strongest language Peter uses, that Jesus uses anywhere in the Bible, as he stands at this crossroads. Is it going to be the way of the cross? Self-giving love for the sake of others. Or the way of the world? Self-preservation. Glory now. It's a crossroads that Jesus continues to stand before as we go through Mark's gospel. And in a sense, it gets to the climax. Do you remember as we head to Easter in the next few weeks, and Jesus is on his knees in the garden under the moonlight, and he's crying out with anguish in his soul, "Father, take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Which way is it going to be, Jesus? The way of the cross or the way of the world? And Jesus, our faithful Savior, he went the way of the cross for us. Verse 31. The Son of Man must suffer many things. Why? Because he loves us. He had to suffer that he might save us. So that's the crossroads. Jesus stands before it. But as he now calls disciples and a wider crowd to him, he says, as it were, to each of us, "You stand at the same crossroads." Do you see what he says? Verse 34. He called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." And so, do you see, it's an invitation. Jesus said, he says to each of us here today, he says, friends, will you walk with me on the way of the cross? Will you walk with me on the way of the cross? Here we are, each of us. Okay, standing at a crossroads. Which way is it going to be? The way of the cross with Jesus or the way of the world? So we're going to just think, okay, as Jesus calls us, he says, walk with me on the way of the cross. We're going to think, what does he actually mean by that? So what's he actually inviting us to do when he says, take up your cross, walk with me on the way of the cross? And then why on earth would I do that? Why would that be a good way for me to go? So I'm at this crossroads. Why should I go that way? That's what, in fact, Jesus helps us to think about in these words that we're looking at this afternoon. So first then, what is Jesus actually calling me to do? Now, just have a look with me at verse 34. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must, not might possibly choose to, but must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Now, what he's saying in a nutshell is that he is calling us, if we are to be a disciple of Jesus, he is calling us to pledge our allegiance to him. Okay, now, what do we mean by allegiance? That is basically saying, I'm with Jesus. That's what he means. He says the way of the cross is the way of saying, I'm with Jesus. So he says, deny yourself. That's when we say, I'm with Jesus, even if that means saying no to some of my own preferences or opinions. Okay, it means saying, I'm with Jesus, even when he tells me to stop doing something that I like and to start doing something that makes me feel pretty uncomfortable. Okay, because he's in charge and I'm not. That's what it means to deny myself. Okay, the way of the world, do you see the little crown there? Okay, it's me in charge. I determine. I'm the master of my own destiny. To deny yourself is to say, I'm with Jesus, and so he's the master of my destiny. Deny yourself, he says, and take up your cross. So that's when we say, I'm with Jesus, even when that's going to make life harder rather than easier, as it sometimes will. I mean, let's bear in mind that Jesus was rejected, he was mocked, he was crucified. So if we're saying, I'm with Jesus, we shouldn't be surprised. And in fact, Jesus tells us directly here that we can expect, on occasions, similar treatments. Jesus says, look, the way of the cross means taking up your cross. I'm with Jesus, even when that is costly. And of course, it's less costly for us than for many, many brothers and sisters across the world who say, I'm with Jesus no matter what it costs me. So he says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's when we say, I'm with Jesus, so where he goes, I go. What he says, I do. What he promises, I trust, and I build my life on. So when Jesus says, look, walk with me on the way of the cross, he is saying, pledge your allegiance to me. Make the theme tune of your life, I'm with Jesus. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, that sounds well and good, but the thing that sin has done to all of us is naturally, that's where we are. Allegiance to me. That's the human condition. And all of us are lumbered with that. I remember seeing a young man wearing a T-shirt that literally said, my life, my rules, Which sounds quite appealing, actually, doesn't it? My life, my rules, except it isn't my life. It's his life. And you know what? He's a better king of my life than I am. And so becoming a follower of Jesus means changing allegiance from myself to him, his life, his rules. And that's what Jesus is saying. Can you see, just notice how central Jesus makes himself in what he's calling us to do. So he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up their cross and deny themselves and follow me. Whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, goodness me, this guy's self-centered. Except he is, of course, the king of the universe. And our flourishing and life depends on us actually doing what he says here. So changing allegiance. It was me and my way, but becoming a disciple of Jesus, going on the way of the cross, means now pledging my allegiance to him. I'm with Jesus. And so Jesus invites us. He says, will you walk with me on the way of the cross? So that's what he's asking us to do. Why would I do that? Why would I do that? Well, firstly, because of who Jesus is. Now, listen, if Jesus is just a moral teacher, then you should definitely not pledge your soul allegiance to him. Okay, if he's just a moral teacher, you should do what you do with any other moral teacher, which is you listen with respect, you weigh up what he says, and you take it or leave it, depending on whether it fits in with your life and your own preferences and what you think about life. That's how you treat a moral teacher. It's how we should treat moral teachers, with respect, but with, you know, a sense of judging what they say. What is Jesus just a moral teacher? Or is he much more than that? Well, Peter saw that he was much more. So again, last week, verse 29, what about you? He says, who do you say I am? Peter answered, you are the Messiah. Okay, God's eternal King, come into the world in love to save us. So much more than just a moral teacher. God's King with God's authority on God's mission. And he's such a different kind of king. I mean, he couldn't be more different than you can imagine from the kind of autocratic, kind of do what I say kind of king. He's a king who loves us, who literally gave his life for us. He serves us. And, you know, when he says, walk with me on the way of the cross, you know the best thing about that call? It's the words, with me. We get to walk with him. The shepherd who loves us, who gave himself for us. He is the king who loves us. He's also the king before whom every human being will one day give an account. And Jesus makes that clear, doesn't he? Verse 38, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Following Jesus on the way of the cross does mean that other people might think badly of you. They might even reject you. But the question that Jesus gives us is, whose opinion ultimately matters? His, the King who loves us, the king before whom every human being will give an account, or your friends? Whose opinion matters more? So why should I walk with Jesus on the way of the cross? Because of who he is, but also because of where he leads us. I mean, these are incredibly thought-provoking words. Look at me from verse 35. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Do you see, Jesus is saying here, look, You can walk the way of the world away from Jesus. Okay, that you can choose to go that way. And that is going to be easier in lots of ways in the here and now. Because you preserve yourself. As it says here, it looks like we're saving our lives. It's all about self-preservation. So I preserve my control, my autonomy, my life. But Jesus says, look where it leads. Look where this way leads. Because here's the thing. Jesus walked on the way of the cross himself so that he could be our shelter from God's judgment, our refuge, our rock, the only one who has taken our sin and offers us forgiveness and eternal security. So if you walk with the world away from Jesus, you are walking away from his shelter, the rock, his forgiveness, his eternal security. Or as Jesus puts it, this is the road of loss. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, Jesus says. Okay, remember where the road leads, says Jesus. Because if you walk with Jesus away from the world, okay, if you give your life to Jesus, that is going to be costly in lots of ways, in the here and now. Of course it will. He says, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. But if you are with Jesus, you are with the one who gives shelter and refuge and forgiveness and eternal security. This is the way of life. Eternal life. Eternal security. And so Jesus looks us in the eyes and he says, I have come to save your eternal soul, because your eternal soul is eternally precious. So don't throw it away. Whatever you do, at this crossroads, remember what's at stake. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Answer, no good at all. Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? Answer, nothing. Jesus is saying, look, be rational here. Do the sums. Take the long view. Okay, our kids are bad at taking the long view. Would you like one sweet now or 100 sweets in 10 minutes? I'll have one sweet now, please. But actually, we adults are the same, aren't we? Okay, Jesus is saying, eternal life with me. And you know, you will find that you are rejected by this world in the same way that I was. Which is it going to be? And we can be so short-term in our thinking, can't we? But Jesus says, look, just be rational. Take the long view. Remember what's at stake. And so, listen, here we all are. We're at the crossroads. And Jesus says, this is the most significant crossroads that you are ever going to stand before. Which way are you going to go? Are you going to walk with me on the way of the cross? Or are you going to walk away from me the way of the world? And it's interesting, you know, that Jesus talks here to two different groups of people. Did you see that in verse 34? He called the crowd to him along with his disciples. So he talks to the crowd and to the disciples. Okay, so maybe you're like, well, I feel like I'm in the crowd. Okay, I'm not yet a disciple, but I'm looking in and I am thinking about it. I do want to know more. I'm in the crowd. Maybe you're new to these things. You actually feel nervous about committing to Jesus for for whatever reason, maybe because of the cost that we've thought about today. But that's you. You're in the crowd. Well, listen to Jesus' invitation to you. If you're on the outside looking in, he says, friend, walk with me on the way of the cross because of who I am. I'm the king who loves you, before whom you have to give an account. And because of where that road leads, it's the way of life. So come join me, walk with me on the way of the cross. Will you change your allegiance and say, I'm with Jesus, that's me. Well, I'm going to finish the service in a few moments' time with a prayer for anyone who says, yes, I'm in the crowd, and for an opportunity for you to say, yeah, you know, I want to be with Jesus as well. So he talks to the crowd, but he also talks to the disciples. Okay, to people who've already said, yeah, you know, I'm already with Jesus. So what does it mean for disciples to walk the way of the cross with Jesus, to deny themselves, take up their cross, and to follow him? Because many of us here are saying, yeah, well, that's me. Okay, I've already decided to walk the way of the cross. But what does it mean for me as a disciple? Well, here's the thing, friends. Do you know, every day, in a kind of smaller way, we are confronted with the same choice. Are we today, am I going to walk the way of the cross with Jesus or the way of the world? At school, you guys are at school. Am I going to walk the way of the world? Am I going to care most about what my friends think about me? Or am I going to walk the way of the cross and make Jesus the king, not just of church and Sundays, but of school and my friendships there as well? That's the choice Jesus says. Is it the way of the world or the way of the cross when you're at school? Or in the workplace, those of us who have jobs. Every day there's a choice. Am I going to walk the way of the world or the way of the cross? The way of the world is all about self-preservation. Just keep your head down, for goodness sake. Don't talk about your faith. That's going to be a can of worms. The way of the world, self-preservation. Or the way of the cross. Be an open disciple. Know that that's going to come with wonderful opportunities, but perhaps also a cost. To not be ashamed of me and my words, as Jesus says. So as you head into the office tomorrow, what is it going to be, the way of the world or the way of the cross? Or in your marriage? Well, are you going to have a marriage that is defined by the way of the world or the way of the cross? You're at the crossroads. Which way is it going to be? Okay, the way of the world, it's all about you and your comforts and your goals and aspirations. Or the way of the cross, sacrificial love and service of the other, making Jesus the model of forgiveness and restoration. He says, will you, in your marriage, will you walk with me on the way of the cross this week? Or with your finances, the way of the world? Just spend any spare income you have on yourself. Or the way of the cross. It's God's money. Let's pray to him and spend it as he directs, even if that feels costly. What's it going to be, the way of the world or the way of the cross? Or my moral choices. Okay, the way of the world says, look, so long as it doesn't harm other people, and so long as it's lawful, just go for it. Do what feels right. The way of the world or the way of the cross. Jesus died for my sin because he knew my sin was killing me. And now I'm going to kill my sin with his power and help. The way of the cross. Listen and obey Jesus. Think what he thinks. Do what he says, even when that's different from the world. Or church, the way of the world. I come as a consumer. I maximize what I can get out of it. When it doesn't quite itch where I scratch, then I go somewhere else, or I dip out for a bit. Or the way of the cross, costly commitment for the sake of others. A family of grace, bound together by the cross, in spite of our differences. So as you come to church on a Sunday, which way is it going to be, the way of the world or the way? Do you see? We stand at these crossroads as disciples of Jesus in every area of life, every day that we wake up in the morning. And Jesus says to us, will you walk with me on the way of the cross? Because friends, I love you, and the way of the cross is the way of life. Trust me. Whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. Trust me. You can build your life on that promise. Whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. And you know, the way of the cross is life for us, because for Jesus, the way of the cross was death. Okay, for us, the way of the cross is forgiveness, because for him, the way of the cross was judgment. For us, the way of the cross is peace for our souls, because for him, the way of the cross was the deepest anguish of soul that you can imagine. He did it for us. So that as we walk with him on the way of the cross, it is now the way of life, eternal life with him, because he loves us. So friends, will you walk with Jesus on the way of the cross? I'm going to finish in prayer. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to include a prayer for anyone who says, yeah, you know what, I want to be with Jesus as well. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I can see that you are the King who loves me. Thank you that you walked the way of the cross for me. And as I stand at this crossroads, I too want to walk the way of the cross, to make you my king. And so I commit to doing that now. Please walk with me as I walk with you on the way of the cross. And for the rest of us, Lord, how we pray that every day we wake up, we would remember that Jesus walked the way of the cross for us, and that we also would deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. And we ask it for his glory. Amen. Amen. Well, just a few moments of quiet space for reflection, and then we're going to stand and sing our final song.